I met Angie at Hun Bar in Hamden on wine night. And if you know Angie, you know that she does not give out her number in bars. But after speaking with her for a few minutes, I knew that I could get it anyway. And I did. She went into my phone as Angie Hun because I happened to be dating another Angie at the time. And I needed to be clear about who I was calling. The other Angie disappeared, and this one turned out to be much more interesting to date. She's a very confident and self-assured person, which is the other Angie was not, and which most of the girls that I've dated have not been. We have a lot in common, as Jessica alluded to, growing up in Baltimore, even though we are from different parts of Baltimore. And we both have a Catholic upbringing, so we have plenty of guilt. And I was obviously attracted to some physical attributes, which you can probably see from where you're standing. So things were going well at first.
Yeah. So they went along, and the fact that he got my number and it was wine night are sort of related. Because I was celebrating. At the time, I was living down close to D.C., and I was just finishing up grad school, and I had just gotten a job back in Baltimore. I was really happy to be moving back up here. So things went well. There were mixtapes and, like, random day trips to the beach, and it was fun. But then it got to the point where we had to either move forward or not, and by not, that meant probably not moving anywhere. And it sucked because we really liked each other. Mike's a super awesome guy, and he's very different from me. He says I'm the confident one, but I'm the one with my leg shaking that most people can probably see. And we started to get the clutter, where some of the good things start getting kind of like a dusting on them. So the feelings that we really liked each other, there started to be this like dust of jealousy. Or there would be a feeling where we might be obligated to hang out with each other. And it was an interesting thing to be going through at the time. And so I remember just realizing, oh, this is not going as well as we thought when we were making those mixtapes. And thinking I might have to be the breaker upper. I hate the word dump because of the obvious toilet connotation, but I remember thinking I might have to do this if it doesn't get better, and I remember actually realizing it when I was shopping for a strapless bra. We were on the phone because we had to go to a wedding together soon, and we were trying to figure out a time to hang out. And it doesn't really, in the scheme of things, matter whose fault it is, the jealousy and the obligation feeling and the things like that. It just matters that it's there. It's in the relationship, and it's on some side or the other. Who cares? It's just affecting the dynamics of how it's going. So I remember strapless bra thinking and or shopping and thinking that that's actually a pretty good metaphor for feeling like you have to break up with someone because you know it's going to be awkward and painful. And the only thing you can hope is that embarrassing pictures don't come out at the end of the night of you in an awkward position or something. So I remember feeling like I was going to have to break up the relationship, and being the breakup-er is, in a way, as hard or harder than being the breakup-ee. Because not only, I think, are you feeling the same feelings of sadness and depression that the other person might be going through, but you also are carrying around the guilt of hurting the person, and you don't really have the right to say, what could I have done differently? Because you did it. So it was hard, but we did it, I did it, and the Catholic guilt thing, I'm sure, doesn't help. But we broke up.
I didn't enjoy that. I think Angie has done a good job of explaining what was going on, but at the time that it happened, I understood absolutely nothing. And that made it that much worse, because being dumped is hard enough, but Not understanding why things are happening is much worse. So I was extremely, extremely frustrated, and part of me, maybe just an innate stubbornness, did not want to give up. And I was like, this isn't how this is supposed to work out. I was really annoyed because I knew that I hadn't been a jerk, and I knew that there wasn't some, you know, obvious chemistry there. So this wasn't how it was supposed to work out. So I tried to maintain some sort of contact, and a few weeks after we had broken up, Angie said to me, she said, Mike, I've got a good number of friends who will never be able to come to my wedding because of the way that they feel about me, and I don't need any more friends like that. But if you want to become a real friend, then I'd like to be friends with you because I think you're a nice person. And I liked that. I think there are a lot of good reasons to remain friends with Angie. People ask sometimes, why do you want to remain friends with somebody that, you know, broke up with you or that you broke up with? I think that's assuming that there are all these other wonderful people out there, but a lot of people suck. And finding a really good one is fairly difficult to do, and I think Angie's just an all-around wonderful person. And so I wanted to remain friends with her, and I realized that there could be a healthy solution. I could take that stubbornness, and rather than carrying around some kind of obsession, which didn't sound fun to me either, I could, you know, use that stubbornness to fuel a friendship, and we could actually become real friends and get to hang out together.
And so that was how it went. Hindsight's definitely 20/20. I was just able to explain it to all you strangers better than I was able to explain it to Mike at the time and to myself. But we were able to actually pursue what I think has become a really good friendship, and I was really happy when Mike actually wanted to be friends, and not the kind of friends that exes can be sometimes, where you don't really want to know if they're dating anybody, or you don't really want to see them out and about with their new significant other. You're afraid they're going to be hotter than you or whatever. You're afraid, you know, the person's going to look more happy with them than they ever did in any pictures of you guys. So we actually were able to pursue a good friendship, and we started doing the kinds of things that we did when we dated, but there wasn't the clutter. There wasn't the jealousy, there wasn't the feeling smothered, there wasn't the feeling like we had to prioritize each other over our friends and our family and that kind of stuff. It was just fun. So we started hanging out, and I know we turned a corner when I realized, and I think you realized, we could ask each other, so how's it going with so-and-so, or because Mike went through kind of a playa period after we broke up. That was kind of fun and funny for me to see and to understand the male mind, which is weird. So we got through it, and we could actually ask each other, who are you seeing or how's it going, and actually wanted to know the answers. So he became sort of my voice of reason. There was a phone call from a Filene's basement at about 1:30 in the afternoon on a Tuesday where I found a dress that was white and pretty and beaded, and I called him and I asked him, look, it's only $30. Should I buy this?
And she's talking about a wedding dress. And I say, Angie, you're insane.
But I'm frugal.
Because, yeah, you're crazy, but any guy that ends up with you will know that, and he'll probably be okay with it.
So that sort of brings us up to speed. We've been friends for way longer than we dated, and recently we nominated each other for Baltimore's Top Singles.
We were not accepted, but that really just goes to show you that Baltimore Magazine doesn't know who Baltimore's Top Singles are.
There you have it.
Thank you.
Thank you.